Good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. We have some folks in here that we're so glad to see. Talk to Sherry Lucas for a little bit. We're so glad that she's returned after her hip surgery. And Jenny Fagg, I see, is here. She celebrated her birthday a couple days ago, and we are very glad to have her presence here, as well as several of our guests. Thanks for choosing to be with us today. If you've been here recently, then you may know that we've been in Luke's Gospel since early June. We've been thinking and reflecting on and talking about discipleship. What does it mean and look like for you and me and for us to follow Jesus? Today we consider discipleship again, this time from Luke chapter 11. And you can open up your Bibles and follow along as we read through that throughout our service. At the beginning of Luke chapter 11, Jesus is praying, we read, and a disciple comes to him and says, "Teach us to pray." A disciple asks about prayer, and a disciple prays. That's what we will do this morning. The first 13 verses of chapter 11 talk about prayer in three ways. We have three persons who will share a brief message for a few moments on each of the three sections. Me on the Lord's Prayer, Lori on prayer's persistence, and Dorian on prayer's goodness. After each person speaks, we'll have a prayer based on what was just spoken. We'll also need a few readers. At the appropriate time, you'll see up on the screen verses from Luke that we're focusing on. We're asking for three volunteers, one reader before I speak, one before Lori, and one before Dorian. If you are moved to read, you can go to one of these available microphones, the red and the green, and King will unmute those for you at the appropriate time. Does that make sense? Need three volunteers to do that. After we sing this next song, we'll get one volunteer, the first one, to read. Then I will come and speak. Carter will come and pray. We'll sing another song and go from there.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thine erring children lost and alone. O strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea.
Not to temptation.
Ford, you spoke really loudly and clearly. We're just going to roll with what we got. You're good. You did well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure what your experience is, but I don't ever officially remembering the Lord's Prayer. I don't have a segment in my brain that kickstarts a specific childhood memory of me sitting down to learn it. I don't recall getting a silver star in Bible class for having quoted it to my Sunday school teacher. Yet I can rattle off the Lord's Prayer right now in 10 seconds flat in a couple different translations if you'd like. In fact, I don't remember not knowing it. It's always kind of been there for me. The combination of hearing it at church, reciting it during worship services, listening to my grandfather pray it at the dinner table, and reading it on my own, all that uploaded within me the knowledge of it, word for word for word. Maybe that's true for you. I was talking with a friend this week who told me that the Lord's Prayer arises within him when he has no idea what else to pray. Jesus' prayer works its way into us. One of the times I smile the widest at church is when I see and hear some of our children get up here and pray it. Cora and Layla and Ruby and Maggie. I love how Maggie's version always ends with a forever and ever. Amen. Carter will come in a moment and pray the same prayer over us. But the version we readily know is the version from Matthew's Gospel, a lengthier, more wordy form. Here in Luke, it's much shorter. Michael, we can go to the next slide. Look how many lines are missing. It seems weird without "your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're led not into temptation, but there's no deliverance from evil. There are reasons for the shortening, of course. It's generally thought that the early church adapted Jesus' words in different ways to fit their needs. And this is how Luke's community probably adapted it. But what I want to touch on concisely is the parts before the prayer when Jesus is praying. Because Jesus prays. He prays. He prays in a certain place at a certain time. He prays alone, and it isn't until he rejoins the community that someone approaches him to ask for something. We can do well to mimic Jesus here, sneaking away, spending time in quiet, withdrawing from the noise people can make. We can also do well to learn to pray, even if we've been praying or been around praying our entire lives. Lord, teach us to pray. It's a great request from Jesus' disciple, from his follower, from the one who wants to be just like Jesus. As students at the feet of the Beloved One, we absorb what it is he has to show us. Pray this way, he says. So we do. And the Lord's Prayer, long version or short, becomes our centering refrain, shaping us, molding us, bending our will to look like his, even if the exact words, "may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," never exits our lips. Thanks be to God.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart o'erflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show.
Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.
I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Good morning, church family. Journey, friend, compassion for a friend, lack of something, inconvenience, knocking, asking for help, finding help, bread. These are the themes of the story and of so many stories. The first part, I will say to you, is a backstory. Michael and I took a journey some years ago. We've never had one like it, and we never will again. Michael needed a vehicle to get to work, so he got on the computer, and after some searching, he told me, we are going to Detroit on Friday. My eyes got very wide, and I said, okay. Well, we're supposed to be concise here, so that's part of what I said. As we packed our bags. Within a short time of our arrival in Michigan, we had located the old Mustang, Robert Byrd may remember, that had been pictured online, and we had driven it around the block with me saying, are you sure about this? And we were on our way. Just down the road were Stephen and Lorena Hopping and some of their kids which was a delight for us and a great help because Stephen, a former minister here at Southwest Central, knew about cars. So when we were about to return to Texas, Stephen noticed a telltale puddle underneath the vehicle, which was not the ordinary little drip from the air conditioner, since it didn't have one. And Stephen gave us some help and advice. And soon we were on our way. That journey led us to a young woman at a hotel desk who led us to an uncle who couldn't help but knew someone who could to a place where they knew something about old cars with this kind of problem, but they didn't have the right part. But they called someone, and those folks came and gave us their part while they ordered another part and would wait for the replacement part to come in so we could be on our journey. And we were amazed by it. We were having some trouble with a car. Doors were opening before we could knock. And we eventually arrived back home. But that was not the journey from our story today. Only a few months later, we received a call from our friend Stephen Hopping. The oldest son, Chris, had tried to kick his drug habit, a habit that was sucking away life from him. But he must have despaired of his life, a young man in his early 20s in his room, in rehab, on the first night of his stay, and we lost him. Our friends were on a journey, and they needed something. Would we come? Would Michael say a word? We became the friends who didn't think we had anything to offer. When the call came, Michael was offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. He just said he was sorry, but he could not leave. Stephen seemed to understand. But we and a lot of others, I am sure, were knocking, were praying. The weather changed. The offshore work had to be postponed. We were able to go, and Belinda went also. It used to stump me in this parable that God seems disinterested. But isn't Luke saying that if a neighbor will finally get up and give the bread that was needed, how much more will God? Unlike our human neighbors, God is already up and is ready to provide the bread that is needed. We may never know the time or the way that He provides that bread for these friends of ours, this child of ours, that student of ours, this spouse or ex-spouse, this friend from work who we love but does not have a clue about how God can work in his life. Years ago near here, there was a fire in some apartments, and it happened in the middle of the night. A woman who had met our friend Bobby Huebner knocked on Bobby's door. She waited till 6 a.m. She was a very thoughtful person. And this began a long relationship with Joan that crossed over many years, touched many lives, and developed many friendships. And Joan was not a person afraid to knock and to ask when she needed it. And that became a blessing to many who were able to say they could help. I know Judy was a part of that, and Steve, and Joe, and different ones. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a phone call, and a scary diagnosis was reported, and Larry Watson got in a car and drove up to Oklahoma City. Richard is Larry's longtime friend. He's a single guy with health and family concerns. I know that Larry and Martha have often prayed for him. And Larry went up and just sat with Richard. To me, Larry was the friend who knocked, and he also became the bread, the comfort, the present that Richard was needing. While he was there, he witnessed Richard's family and his church family and his hospital staff praying for Richard. Now Larry was sharing in the bread. He was being fed. Many of us have stories like this. We have been the friend who was knocking, and sometimes we have also been the friend who needed someone to ask and knock as we stumbled and struggled on our journey. That I'm aware of, there's no story about the friend who just said, "I'm sorry, I have nothing to give you." So, there's no story there. So, to keep knocking, we must start knocking. The message is keep knocking, keep praying, never give up. Though we may not get to see it, our Father is awake and prepared to give the needed bread, the kind nurse, the friend who will sit in the hospital room, the lost child to see where they are living and return home. Start knocking. Keep knocking. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, you spoke through your Son Jesus, and he instructed his followers, and he instructs us to ask, seek, knock, all ways of approaching you in our daily prayers. Father, Jesus has gone before us. He's prepared the way for us to follow. And so we approach you, Father, sometimes in audacity, and we ask for things that perhaps we don't really need. And we seek, Father, what we don't really want to find. And we knock, sometimes, Father, hoping the door won't be opened. But Father, your Holy Spirit fills us with a hope that we will learn how to ask for the kingdom things that we need in our life. That we'll seek with curiosity, hope and joy within ourselves and with those we encounter along our journey. And we will knock, and the door will be opened, and we will follow Jesus as he leads us in our journey to maturity in faith, to experience the joy of your love. Thank you, Father, in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, or for ease that prayer shall be. But for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way.
Church, Steve had asked me to do the homily, but I didn't know where I was going to be Friday. Friday I had to go to a doctor's appointment, and, you know, everything worked out good. So I felt my duty to do this right here. So I'll be reading from Luke 11:11-13. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people knew how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?
Good morning. Please pray with me very quickly. Holy Father, thank you for the gift of every day of life. Thank you for the chance to serve you as a Christian in your kingdom. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and I ask you to please pour your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, that we may know your will and take your will and use our bodies through your will to expand your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. Could we have the second slide that was just up? Thank you. So, fathers, parents, we like to think that we know the needs of our children better than they know them, particularly when they're young. I remember as a child asking for things and being told, no, why would you want that? There's a lot of parents in here, and I'm sure you've all had similar experiences. You know, the kid wants cake for dinner. Well, no, you can't have that. You can have some after dinner. Can I watch this terrifying movie that most adults would never even want to watch? Well, no, you can't watch that. We do this because we've been there. We see a little further than our kids can see. They see, this is what I want. We see, we hope, this is what you need. So, on the flip side, if your child is to ask you, would you spend some time with me? Will you play with me? Will you help me with my homework? Can I go to my friend's house and help him because he's having some trouble? Well, then what do we say? Yeah, of course you can. Yes, I'll help you. Yes, I will be with you. That's just what a loving parent does. And so with these final words, and as Jesus is wrapping up his lesson on prayer for the disciples, he uses a simple illustration of a child asking a parent and the parent giving the child what the child needs. I think the reminder here is that all of us, the disciples then and us today, we're all God's children. Prayer is our direct line to God. And it can be really amazing to see those prayers answered. Now, in some cases, the answers to those prayers can be truly miraculous. In my own family, we've had a couple of truly miraculous events that I know are the direct result of not just our prayers, but people who are praying on our behalf. My father's heart was healed. My wife's brain cancer has disappeared. And those things were never supposed to happen. The doctor said, no, these aren't going to happen. But they did. At the same time, Christians, all of us, have experienced kind of a sense of silence from God when we pray and we don't really seem to hear anything, or we don't get the answer we were looking for, or we don't understand the answer, or maybe we pray and it's years before we realize that that prayer was actually answered. Well, just as a parent sees a little farther in their wisdom when answering the requests of a child, God sees infinitely farther still when answering our prayers. You know, when Jesus prays and when he teaches his disciples to pray, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And when we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, what is it always? Not my will, but your will be done. The prayers that Jesus prays are for the expansion of the kingdom, for the glory of his Father. And our lives as Christians are to be about serving God first, working to do his will and growing his kingdom. So what better way to grow the kingdom than to be empowered to do so by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit provides us strength when we don't have it, provides us comfort when we need it. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding beyond ourselves. Direction, it gives us direction. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit will reveal God's will to us and for us. So when we pray, let's first honor God. Let's approach God boldly and unafraid to ask, just as a child would approach a loving parent, unafraid to ask, even if the answer is no or not right now. Finally, let us always ask for God's Holy Spirit to lead us in his way and by his will and not our own. If we do that and we put God's will first, God will certainly bless us with truly amazing gifts. Thank you.
This is working. This morning, you all please bow with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, to pray especially for this church, Lord. Father, O God, we lift up this church before you with your glory, your honor, and your blessing. We pray that every body in this church may pray for their household every day. Father, if we don't pray, we don't have justice. If we don't pray, we don't have peace. If we don't pray, we don't have love. If we don't pray, we don't love you. If you is a Christian and you're not praying, you don't know Jesus. Lord, we pray for love. We pray for peace. We pray for healing. We pray for guidance. We pray for protection. We pray for each other. We pray that you may bless us and may your light may shine upon us in our going and in our coming. And Father, we pray for Brother Tonley, Lord. Father, oh God, he have no strength and no power but yours, Lord. We ask you to lift him up, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for you to do what's best for him. And in Jesus' name, especially his family, brothers and sisters, I pray that you all stand with him. He need you all right now, dear Jesus. He need everyone. Every day he asks me, am I in Southwest Church? Church, remember him, Lord. In his going and in his coming, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ye are strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, veil your danger. Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer. Amen.
Each of Jesus's teachings on prayer here contain within them the mention of food. Give us each day our daily bread. Friends, lend me 3 loaves of bread. If your child asks for a fish to eat or an egg, I don't think that's a fortunate accident, food and prayer meshing together, but it definitely helps us as we turn our eyes to the bread and the cup before us. We recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. We recognize the saving love of Christ in the pouring of the cup. We pray before the breaking and before the pouring, asking for God to bless us with the eyes to recognize Christ in those things. We pray that we might recognize the Christ in us as we eat and as we drink. And that's what we will do now. In a moment, I would ask that a person or persons pray before you break the bread and pour the cup. Then you can share lives with each other. How you doing? What's going on in your life? What can we be in prayer about? What did I or Lori or Dorian say that spoke to you? Let's spend a few moments doing that now.